All right, well, having, you know, spent quite a bit of time here on the Giants the last couple of days, you know, their ability defensively to create turnovers and get the ball out and score is obviously very impressive. You know, by far and away the best in the league at that. They've also made a lot of plays in the kicking game, block punts, kickoff returns. Their overall coverage units and field position, you know, have been impressive. And, you know, offensively, they have a, you know, a good, obviously good offensive system, well-coached, good players, good skill players. They're big, they're physical, they run the ball, they use all four backs. They have explosive players on the perimeter. They have guys that make, you know, a lot of yards after the catch. You know, experienced quarterback makes a lot of good decisions with their no-huddle offense or up-tempo offense, whatever you want to call it. So a lot to get ready for this week. They use a lot of different people, particularly defensively. Use a lot of guys on the front, you know, seven or eight defensive linemen. Use multiple linebackers, multiple guys at the corner positions. So a lot of personnel things to get ready for, as well as, you know, scheme-wise, they do a lot defensively with their various secondary pressures and, you know, change-up coverages, disguises, things like that. So this will be a big, big preparation week for us, you know, to know a team that we don't know.
What are some of the unique challenges to try to slow down a guy like Jason Pierre-Paul, and that he's not only such a unique physical presence, but you also maybe don't know where he is conditioning-wise at this season?
You know, well, I think he played 50-some plays last week against Tampa, and so his conditioning looks fine. I'm sure he'll be in there most of the time like he was last week. I can't imagine. So, you know, he'll be there. But, you know, he's long. He's athletic. He's got good feet, good quickness, you know, good edge speed. So, you know, he's definitely a, you know, a force. We're going to have to do a good job on him.
Defensively, Spagnuolo's scheme is the same thing that if you turn on the tape from, you know, 07 when you played him in the Super Bowl, same scheme, just different personnel or the ball?
You know, some different. Yeah, I mean, I don't think they've changed their playbook. Just a question of when they dial up, you know, what they do based on the team they're playing and, you know, what they want to try to stop or how they want to try to attack it.
How much have the tight ends on this team helped as far as pass blocking and as far as making up for some of the miss on the line?
You know, our tight ends have really taken a well-rounded role in everything, running game, pass protection, pass patterns, long, short, inside, outside kind of thing. So it's a pretty versatile group, and I know each player kind of has his own strengths and weaknesses, but as a group, they've all, you know, been involved in the running game, been involved in the passing game, been involved in protection, and trying not to become too overly predictable on who's going to do what. To the defense, so it's definitely given us some versatility offensively, and the ability to you know, create some different matchups or attack different parts of the defense because of their ability to do different things. Mm-hmm. Been good.
Specifically,
it's team defense. It's not like, you know, one guy can stop a running game, so. It's team defense, technique, you know, each person taking care of their responsibility, guys that are on the outside, not letting the ball get outside, the guys on the inside, you know, getting good run reads, playing with good technique, controlling their blockers, tackling, so, you know, all of the above.
It seems like Alan Branch has carved out a pretty nice role for you guys. What have you seen from him since the beginning of the season when I think he came in and he wasn't really – I don't think he participated in camp right away. So how have you seen him kind of progress?
He's made steady improvement in everything, his technique, his conditioning, his overall consistency. But those guys have all played not the same amount, but, you know, in approximately the same number of plays, Malcolm, Allen, Akeem, and Silver. So those, you know, and Easley's really been in part of that inside rotation too, although he's a little different type of, you know, brings a little different dimension to that. But those four big guys, they've all, you know, played, as I said, in approximately, you know, the same type of amount of plays and roles. So I don't think one guy, it's, you know, it's not one guy playing a lot, another guy not playing much. And so they've all contributed there. So Allen's been a part of that, you know, not more, not less, just, you know, a good contributing part of that kind of four-man group.
Everyone raves about Beckham's athleticism, and obviously you see the highlight reel catches. Well, what kind of route runner is he?
Good, really quick, tough kid, you know, goes inside for the ball, very good after the catch. You know, makes a lot of plays with the ball in his hands, hard guy to tackle, he's got good quickness, and a good ability to separate. But I'd say the thing that's impressed me the most about him is his toughness. I mean, he's not a big guy, but he competes well. He goes inside, goes after the ball, takes a hit, hangs on to it. He's a tough, competitive player and very good with the ball in his hands, not just going up and getting it. He's got, obviously, a bunch of highlight catches. But, you know, when he catches the ball, he can run with it and, you know, make plays with his quickness and his open field running ability.
Bill, with Joe Cardona both playing for your football team and still serving as a Navy member, how have you seen him respond to balancing both playing and serving?
Good. I think Joe's done a real good job of that. He's here when he can be here, and when he's not here, you know, we know where he is, and so he's balancing those. But I think he's done a good job of managing his time and, you know, working as hard as he can on the things he needs to improve on, which, again, is a big jump from, you know, what he did last year to what he's doing this year, and the precision, the execution, the timing, and so forth. So he's done a good job of all those things. But I still think he's, you know, if he continues to work hard and continues to, you know, work on the things that he needs to work on, I think he's got, you know, a real good, you know, future. And, but he's improved a lot, and then there's still, you know, a lot of things he can continue to work on, which he is, and get better at.
So when you draft someone like that, do you do so because you know he can handle it and that is his ability to multitask? I think you said yesterday is a big part of what he brings here and his maturity at a pretty young age.
Yeah, I think, though, each situation is different. You've got to look at each individual, you know, just because somebody goes to a institution, I don't think that defines that person necessarily. You know, you've got to see what, you know, that individual brings himself. And so I think Joe definitely does that. I think you could see that in evaluating Joe, but I wouldn't, like, necessarily say that just as carte blanche the case. You know, each situation is different. You know, and really, he's one of the first guys that's really been in this situation, I would say. You know, Echol was out. You know, Catani was in, but he was out. You know, he wasn't doing quite the same thing Joe was doing. You know, McConkie was out. Stufflebeam was in, but he was only in for training camp. You know, he was in the Navy, but he was only there for training camp. He didn't play a full season. I mean, I wasn't with McCallum, but McCallum was out. You know, Robinson was out when he played basketball. So, you know, again, I think each situation is a little bit different. Staubach was done, you know. So in this case, you know, Joe's responsibilities are, you know, really, you know, going on at the same time. So.
Bill, Tom Brady's been mentioned as just about everybody's midseason MVP. Is there something particularly satisfying about seeing somebody do this at this stage of their career?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I mean, that's great, but honestly, I don't think anybody's really focused on that, right? We're focused on the Giants and some midseason report card. No, like, who cares? Right? What difference does it make? Like, give me an F, give me a C plus. I mean, I don't really, it doesn't matter.
Well,
right now, I'm focused on the Giants. I mean, that's all I really care about.
What grade would you get?
I don't give grade. I mean, I'm worried about the Giants. They're trying to beat the Giants. I don't really care about, you know, some midseason, midterm grades.
Bill,
give me whatever you want. I mean, I don't care.
About their ability to turn you over, and as evidenced by their place in the turnover differential in the league, what is it about the defense that enables it to procure so many turnovers?
Yeah, I think Bob, I think it's the techniques that they use. They do a real good job of, kind of standing the runners up. A lot of times they don't tackle them. They just kind of bear hug them and, wait till second or third guy can come in and poke the ball out. In the passing game, they do a lot of, trapping where they are kind of in a zone, but they really have another zone. It looks like they have one zone, but they actually have another zone, and they're very, fast to converge there. Things like that. I mean, it's one thing when the offense just fumbles the ball, they fumble a snap or they drop the ball. They're turnovers, but they're not really caused turnovers. I mean, they're not really caused turnovers. It's really just, poor ball handling by the offensive team. I would say in the Giants' case, a lot of their turnovers have come from really good plays like Cromartie's interception against Dallas, his interception against Philadelphia. Ball is thrown like all the way back across the field. He went up and, really made an outstanding catch, a catch you would see a receiver make. So those kind of plays are like, they're not gimmies. Those are good plays to intercept the ball or, to force a turnover. Same thing on the strip sacks. You go in there and tackle the quarterback, or you can go in there and, find a way to, get the ball away from them. So, combination of the individual techniques and also I'd say some scheme things that lend themselves more to possibly creating opportunities where they kind of give you something, but then they take it away quickly, and if they get there in time, it's their ball.
How much different is Eli now than the last time you saw him in terms of like you said, some of the West Coast type of tendencies they might have?
Well, I think the offense is different. I don't think he's like changed dramatically as a player, but the ball's coming out quicker, fewer sacks, higher percentage of completions, quicker throws, hitting a lot of guys on the run, so there's run after catch. They still run play action, but I'd say maybe a little, there's some play action, I'm not saying that, but the percentage of it is maybe a little lower than just quick timing throws. And also the fact that there's so much no huddle and the plays are controlled by the quarterback, that if he sees a bad play or a bad look, that, he can change the play to something that's better. So rather than run a play action pass against a heavy blitz look where you're going to have to protect and hold the ball and throw it down the field, on that play they could go to something else and then come back and run that play action pass when they get a better look. And, they think there are going to be fewer people rushing. So, things like that. It's, like a combination of all those things.
How's Shane Vereen look this year with the Giants?
Good. He's quick, athletic. I mean, obviously catches the ball well. He's given us some plays in the return game, kickoff returns. So he's, he's used primarily, as a sub-type back, third down, two-minute, although he's in there in some other situations too. It's not exclusive, and also kickoff returns. But I'd say pretty much the same player that, we saw here doing similar things and doing them well.
The sub-type back, like Kevin Falk, Danny Woodhead, Shane, J.R. Redmond, I guess you could put in there, going way back maybe a little bit. Has that always been a big part of your system, or where did you see that maybe evolve into becoming a bigger part of either your offense or any offense,
I'd say it kind of started in the 80s as I remember it. In the early 80s and 70s, usually the same 11 guys were on the field for every play. And then you got a little bit to the third receiver, but the tight ends were pretty good, and those guys were good receivers. They weren't really guys you're looking to take off the field. So, you played the same 11 guys on offense, played the same 11 guys on defense. There's a little bit of a nickel defense in the late 70s where teams would put in a defensive back for a linebacker, but they played the same thing. It was just a kind of a one-for-one substitution. And then I think you saw teams like Washington, when Gibbs was there, have the big back, you know, whether it was George Rogers or Riggins or whoever it was, and then they had, you know, Washington or Kelvin Bryant or, you know, that type of player as their sub back, and it is a true one-for-one situation. We did that at the Giants, had a lot of success with Mega, Tony Galbraith, you know, guys like that. You know, that was into the late 80s and the 90s, and then, you know, a lot of teams started doing it where they found that third down back was, first of all, was a less of a load for one guy to be out there for, you know, every single play. And then secondly, you know, the skills of that player, you know, ability to separate and have quickness and, you know, make plays with his hands in a passing game as opposed to just, you know, ball carriers. Sometimes, you know, you could have both instead of just trying to find one guy to do everything, which was a little harder to. I mean, there's always going to be some backs in the league that can do that, but, you know, I think that was a little easier to find two guys rather than find one that could do, you know, everything, or find two, one to do it and one guy to back them up, you know, so that was a way of splitting the load. So I'd say that's kind of evolved through the, like, mid-80s into, you know, by probably, you know, a decade later, you know, it's the way a lot of teams were going. But, you know, when you had guys like, you know, Tony Dorsett and, you know, Billy Sims and Thurman Thomas and guys like that, I mean, you didn't need to sub anybody. I mean, you put them on there, do whatever you want with them, you know, throw to them, run 20 times a game. You know, that's what they were all really good at that. But the specialization, Gibbs in particular with Washington, you know, and the guys that went on from his system, like, you know, Dan Henning and, you know, guys like that, you know, they adopted that same type of philosophy.
Who's the best one that you've had?
Was it? Been lucky. We've had a lot of good players at that position. Certainly Meggett was, you know, again, depends on what the guy's role was. You know, one thing about Meggett was he gave you all his plays in a kicking game. You know, kickoff returns and punt returns as well as third down. So he was a, you know, a very impactful player in terms of the number of times that, you know, he would catch the ball. You know, I mean, Kevin probably caught more passes than Mega did, but he didn't have the same production in the return game. Probably had more production as a running, you know, running back, you know, actually carrying the ball. So, but, you know, going back to Tony Galbraith, I mean, he was, you know, I mean, he did a great job for us at the Giants. Yeah, he was a little different. Yeah, he was, you know, ended up going being a receiver in Atlanta. He was a little different. I mean, he was, but he, you know, he was, but he wasn't. It was a little different style of player there. But, you know, those guys are, again, depending on their, they all kind of have a similar skill set, but then, you know, what their role is as it relates to the kicking game, which, I mean, Metcalf was, you know, a great returner and 7-8 career touchdowns, whatever it was. So, you know, probably more impact in the kicking game than in some cases on offense. But, you know, it's those players are explosive. All right, great. Thank you.